Good evening, everybody. So as an introduction, but before I get started, there's need for a Russian interpreter. So if anybody can interpret this, the rest of the service into Russian, please go to the back corner and they'll get you hooked up to help with that. And so this will just be an introduction. Let's just pray real quick. Lord, we just thank you for tonight. Thank you for each person that's here. Pray that you bless these words and help us to have a great night. We thank you for all you've done for us. And we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just wanted to start by telling a little story. And it's funny how God uses the things we go through and the interactions we have with other people to kind of minister to us and to kind of show us what he's done for us. And this happened this past week with my son, Isaiah, who's actually here. And he might get mad that I told a story, but that's okay. So we were watching a movie before they went to bed, and he had seen a preview for this movie, and there was a part of it where there's a fire and someone gets hurt, and it's not a very intense scene, but he had seen it and he had made up this idea in his brain about what this, you know, scene from this movie was. The rest of the movie was perfectly fine, you know, but he had this idea about this scene where there's a fire in the movie. So we're watching the movie and we're going through the movie, and every time the change of scenes, he thinks that the fire scene is going to come up next, and he gets really scared. He's like, I don't want to watch it, Dad. Turn it off. The fire scene's coming. Turn it off, Dad. I'm like, Isaiah, it's okay. It's not coming. I had seen the movie ahead of time and screened it and everything, and there was no issue with it. But he, every time, I was like, Isaiah, it's not happening yet. It's okay. But he continued to kind of be worried and anxious and like, the fire, Dad, the fire's coming. I'm like, Isaiah. And I started to get a little frustrated with him because he's not enjoying the movie and he's worrying about a scene that he hasn't seen and he doesn't even know if it's, you know, scary or not. And I just told him, Isaiah, if you're going to be anxious and worry, just go in the other room and then I'll tell you when it's over. You come back in and enjoy the rest of the movie. So he did that. The scene came and I fast forwarded through it actually and didn't even watch it. And then I told him, Isaiah, it's okay to come back in. And he peeks his head in like, is it really over, Dad? And he goes back and I'm like, yes, Isaiah, you know, I'm getting frustrated and more frustrated with him as the movie goes along. He ends up coming back in and it ends up being fine. But it's just, God was just showing me, like, it made me think of like my relationship with God and reminded me of, my frustration reminded me of, you know, how God's interactions with the Israelites in the Old Testament when they had just been, the Red Sea had just parted. They walk through the Red Sea. They're going to the Promised Land, and then they start complaining to God about, you know, why we could have just died in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here to die? You know, and then he brings water from the rock, and because they didn't have any water, he made the bitter water sweet. And God's doing all these different things. And then Moses goes up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments from the Lord. And while he's gone, they make a golden calf and they say in Exodus 32, 16? They say, this is our Exodus 32:4. This is our God. This is your God, O Israel, small g, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then God gets, you know, God's wrath comes against them and he wants to destroy all of Israel, you know. And I kind of, not in the same sense that I want to destroy my son, but I had that, you know, frustration that I'm like, and God was just showing me like, okay, God, I trust you, but do I really trust you? You know, like, okay, you're doing these things and I believe in you and I know you love me, but do you really love me? And is it okay, God, really? Is this okay, or do I need to take care of it myself? And I was just thinking about that, and I was like, okay, God, that's true. And maybe there's a familiarity with the Israelites, and maybe that's something that I had in my heart, where it's like, okay, God, I trust you. I believe you. I know that you're going to take care of me. And the next part of it was after the movie's over, I went into my son's room before he went to bed and I told him, Isaiah, you know, I'm not going to let you watch something that's going to make you scared or let anything bad happen to you. And I was thinking like that. I was like, but can I really make that claim to my son? Like, okay, I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you. Like, I can't, but God can, and God has made that claim. And he backed it up with his claim by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And about the familiarity that I feel like the Israelites had, and I feel like maybe we can have in our church, you know, Greater Grace World Outreach has been around for a long time. And I actually grew up in this church from, you know, I was born into the church. You know, I have been coming to church since I can remember. And maybe there's that familiarity or that idea that maybe I haven't seen God do these things. You know, the Israelites saw what God did, right? They saw him part the Red Sea and they walked through it themselves. And a lot of people in our church, they were in Lenox and they saw what God was doing there and how it came to be and how we went into all the world. And then we moved to Baltimore and we continued to go into all the world. And maybe I was born here and grew up here, and maybe I didn't have that point in my life where I was like, yeah, God really did something in my life yesterday, or that message really spoke to me. And now I want to, you know, go at it with God, go after it with God. And that's something that I think is sometimes hard for people that have grown up in the church to see or to understand, that capacity to, you know, be in the church and see and know that God is there and that he's done things for you and that he's changing lives, and not experience, maybe not feeling like you experienced those things in your life. You know, you see your friends or see other people going on the mission field, and you're here in Baltimore coming to church every Sunday, and you're like, okay, God, where are you? And, you know, is this what I'm meant to do? Is this, are you real to me? You know, I haven't had that renewed life, maybe, you know, because we talk about, Pastor Schaller will talk about, you know, or a lot of our pastors would talk about, you know, you're going one way in your life, and then you met, you know, a pastor, or you met somebody that told you about God. You know, you're going to college, or you're drinking, or you're doing drugs, or you're doing this thing. And then you say, I met God, and like, okay, now I'm going this way, right? But what if you're going this way with God, and you never, you know, you know who God is, and you're just going this way, and you're not having that transformation? And what does that mean? Maybe you don't feel like you had a transformation. And there's this verse in 2 Corinthians 3, and it's verse 18, that I think is what gives the transformation when we don't feel like we have that transformation. And it talks about the glory of God. And I'll just read the verse. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So, and in the same sense, when Moses came down from the mountain, you know, from Mount Sinai, after he had received the Ten Commandments, he had the glory of the Lord shining off of his face, right? So we can behold the glory of the Lord and be transformed by being in the Spirit, by reading his word, by being in the body. And that's just something that was encouraging to me as somebody who, you know, you're walking with God and you're thinking, oh, I need this transformation. So maybe I'm not going to be around God so much so I can feel what God is like, right? But we can feel who God is and the transformation from him by being in his word, being around the body of Christ, being consistent in what we are in our walks of faith and things like that, without having to, you know, have a physical transformation. Or we'll have the transformation by beholding God's glory. So that's what I had to say. And I'll just pray for, Lord, we just thank you for these words. Bless the rest of our service. We just thank you for your glory and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask you just to bless the rest of our time together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, we think of Pastor Love in Montreal, Pastor Shabelli in Thailand, Nepal, Bangalore. Lord, for the young people, the message we just heard from the heart, beautiful wisdom from above. For our families, Father, the Holy Spirit. For Joe Calisi in the hospital, for his condition, and your life amongst us, comfort teaching, Wilmington, Delaware, Philadelphia, New York City, Sterling, Pastor Sterling and Barbara, the men's, the pastor's getaway, Eddie Farm, the end of the week, for Pastor Stephen Stein, bringing him here for Mindy and her healing and her health. We thank you for your grace. He is great every day we live. He is a gift. Yes, Lord. We've assembled in your name. It's not in vain. It's our joy and privilege to live by faith. For the Bible College students, every one of them, for depth, wisdom, discipline, the cross, life, faith, in Christ's name. Use these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Half of you have seated and been seated already. We had a beautiful picnic yesterday at Pastor Hadley's home. Nancy, thank you, and Pastor Hadley. Pastor Sliva, he had surgery on his face. Bev is here. We visited Pastor Tom yesterday. Wow, he's amazing. Soldier, a faithful servant. Looks great. Looks great. The swelling is going down and it looks great. We are family. Wow. We are family. Paul Andreolinus said, I don't think I've ever heard these words said before. He said, greater grace has been around for a long time. I think, whoa, those are good words. I like those words. Wasn't it a good message? You know, Dad, can I come out now? You know, I know the fire is coming. I know it is. Yeah. No, Isaiah, it's okay. It's okay. So let's do a short message from Acts 16. Actually, let's do two short ones. Go to Isaiah 42. No, wait a minute, three short messages. One time I went up to Slovakia from Budapest. We drove up a couple hours in the mountains, and we drew people in the area together, and we had this place for a couple hours, and I didn't know the people, but I couldn't do that to them, like speak a long time, so I said, I'll speak for 7 minutes, then we'll talk, and then 7 more minutes, and we'll talk and get to know each other. Wow, what a great time we had. It was beautiful. So tonight, let's hope the 7 minutes is really 7 minutes, and then we'll do another one. Look at Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. God loves Christ so much. He is my elect. My soul delights in him. I put my spirit upon him. There's the Trinity. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. What kind of person will he be? When he comes, he will not cry, meaning like scream in the street. He will not be with a megaphone making a lot of noise. He will not do it that way. In verse 2, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He'll not be like a politician looking for, you know, time on the radio, or a billboard or some method like that, but he will be anointed. My spirit will be on him. He will be satisfied internally and built up and in fellowship with God. He will be a man, but he will be God. But being God won't be his target. Being a man will be his target. I am a man. He called himself Son of Man more often, much more than Son of God. But this is what he does, verse 3. A bruised reed shall he not break. Bruised reed, the meaning is, it's already damaged. It's already fragile. It's ready to bend over, collapse. It's ready to fall over. It's ready to be destroyed. It's right at the teetering point, right at that fragile place of standing, but easily could be blown over. One of the things that I remember from Dr. Stevens, like when we would just have our after times and our wraps, I remember this very unusual story where he said he was in eighth grade, and this was when he quit school, actually, in eighth grade. And he said the principal looked at me, and I felt that he loved me. The principal of the school had compassion on me. He knew I was fragile. Because Pastor, when his dad had pneumonia and they packed his dad's nose and the blood ran in his lungs and he died, Pastor was he lost his dad when he was 3. He was the youngest in his family. I think there were 5 children or 4. You know, I could go through the names, Irene and Dwight and, okay. And his brothers went to World War II and they had a small hard scrabble farm with a cow and a horse. And the horse died. I remember Pastor was like 10 years old. And the horse died and his brothers blamed him for it. And there were like these family things that were part of Pastor Stevens' childhood in a very small farm up in Maine, where he had to learn to fight and survive and try to make it. And I think that his heart was for people because he had been there, a bruised reed. He knew what it was like to be a bruised reed. And so when those of us that knew him this way, when he would walk into a room, he was like believing that Jesus Christ really came and really cares about people. And so do we. We can feel the care for people because the Holy Spirit is that kind of spirit that looks at a bruised reed and says he can make it. He's not going to be crushed when he's around us. He will not be broken, destroyed, stepped on, walked on. It does happen, and people do get hurt, and they do leave churches, and sometimes tough leadership is too tough on some people, and that can happen in life. But with Jesus, look at verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax, this is the candle that's been blown out, and the wick is smoking. And you could take your thumb and index finger, wet them, and then there's no more smoke. No more ember. Light, small, little, small, red, orange, glowing, little, small, not quenched. Verse 3. The smoking flax shall he not quench. Hallelujah. It's like after you got done talking with Jesus, you felt encouraged, even though you were smoking flax. When God would enter into the life of any broken person in this world, anywhere, and God is done with them, or he initiates to them, they feel encouraged and refreshed. Sometimes people go around looking for who they can crush, who they can quench out, who they can break further. But not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God loves people and cares about them. And he talks to them and he gives to them. Verse 4, it says, he shall not fail. Christ will not fail, nor be discouraged. He will not be discouraged. What a big word. It means whatever the goal is, it would happen. You would never be discouraged. If he's on the cross and it happens, he's not discouraged on the cross. If everybody forsakes him, he's not discouraged by people rejecting him. He will not fail and he'll not be discouraged. The Spirit of God that is in us, the Spirit of God working in us, the Spirit of God is not discouraged, and he does not fail. But he's a minister of kindness, minister of joy and love and faith. Having a conversation with Jesus would just definitely encourage us and build us up in our faith. Amen. That's it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the second 7 minutes. Turn to Acts 16. This is the last one. Tonight, we had a beautiful service this morning and on wisdom above, wisdom below, on Apostle Paul and the mission. And you can see that if you were not here, you can see it on the internet. Wisdom above and wisdom below. Wisdom below, we can fall into pettiness. Pettiness. And get sidetracked from the big picture. It happens to all of us. Wisdom below is so easy to happen. So here is Acts 16. And Paul is arrested. Paul and Silas in verse 19. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Brought them to the magistrates, verse 20. Saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. By the way, be sure to make it clear in your heart never to be anti-Semitic. Never. It's not of God. The Jews, we go to Israel soon, in 2 weeks or so. And there'll be 40 people, I think, or so, and we go there. But I think that's worthwhile saying. I think we know that already. But these people are really fulfilling a purpose. And we Gentiles have been brought into that great blessing. And we have received a new covenant that God made with the Jewish people, but we've been grafted into it, and we are now inheritors in this covenant. We are spiritual Jews. In Romans 2:29, we are circumcised not in our flesh, but circumcised in our hearts and our lips. Jeremiah said, in our lips, we are circumcised, set apart, made holy, separated. Verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Man, didn't we see recently in our country a lot of emotion in the hallways of the Capitol building and the buses and the demonstrators and everything? Didn't we see a lot of emotion? Woo! Man. Oh. Man. These people just said, we're going to beat them. Verse 22. What, verse 23. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. What would wisdom below say? What would Paul say about that? It's not fair what has happened to us. Why have they done that to us? It's just not right. Wisdom below. I got to get my lawyer on the phone. I got to figure out our strategy. I got to deal with this problem. This is not fair. It is not right. I am a Roman citizen. You're doing this to a Roman citizen. That just cannot happen. Okay. Verse 24. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. And I understand that's the way down deep in the bowels of the prison house, right on the inside. You know, you have a jail and then you have a prison. This is where they ended up. They made their feet fast in the stocks. Turn the lights out. Put your feet in irons. You are whipped. You are beaten. This is your condition. This is what it is for you. Sometimes it's good for us to live there and think about it. How unfair it is. How wrong it is. How this shouldn't have happened to me. And so on. And so the wisdom below is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now I start cursing God. I start angry. I get upset about it. All that could happen to a believer. It could. And that's what we need to realize. You know. And then he said, then this is what happens, verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Where did that come from? Paul and Silas prayed. Where did that come from, huh? Wow. I just see this in my life. I just see this happening. Well, I want to say to the Bible college students, we are so glad you are here. We are so glad you go by faith. But I want to say, especially to the international students, when you go to another country, it's kind of exciting. There's some, you know, excitement about it, and it's different, and the culture is different, and the people, and in this case, the church, the Bible college. Then after a couple months, you miss home. Where's the Swedish Pula or Bula? Where's my friends? I want to see my mom or dad. After a few months, you get sorry. Then you get negative about the country that you live in. You get kind of negative about it. This is a normal thing. You can read about it. It's like culture change and culture shock and all those kind of things. And I know about it because I've lived in it. But I've also learned this amazing thing here. Paul and Silas prayed. You see, there's a wisdom that comes from above. And you're able to see not the petty things that happen in life. Petty means the small things, what people might say or do. And maybe some of it is real struggle. I remember Pastor Monty said to me when we were living in Lenox, there was a time when he didn't have any money and he didn't have any food. And the people were coming into the church in Lenox, driving cars and big cars and families and everything. And he's starving to death. And he's like starting to get an attitude. And if you know him, you know that can happen. And to me, and to all of us. Don't you think that Paul and Silas, having been beaten and thrown away into the bowels of the prison, could be sitting in there with a lot of wounded feelings and thoughts? But somehow, and this is what I want to say, that somehow, it's true. It's amazing. This Spirit of God, this Holy Spirit of God, our Comforter, this Spirit of God says, come on, trust me and believe me. I don't want to crush you. I don't want to crush you, and I don't want to quench you, but I want to fan the flame. I want to tell you, you are worthy of my visitation. I have forgiven you of your sin. I have anointed you with my Spirit. I have called you by my grace. Respond to me in faith. And they started to pray, and somehow, and this is beautiful, but it happens sometimes when we start moving in faith, we meet God in that faith. We start moving in faith, like the Wilmington testimony. We start moving in faith, and God is there, and God does His work there. And in mission work, this is a joy. And living in Baltimore, it is also a challenge, because we all have busy lives, and we all could be saying in our particular prison cell, it isn't fair, or it isn't right, or I'm tired of it, or I'm bored with it. But look at what they did. Verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Learn to get on your knees at midnight. Learn to seek God in faith. At midnight, you know, learn to believe that God is at work and all we have to do is move in faith. God is there. God is there. God is with us in it. Zane Turk is in India and I'm excited. He's living with Pastor Fred Ellis, and he gets to be with Pastor Carl and the different ones and have this amazing experience. But in a couple months, I mean, it's like this whole pattern, and I will be at midnight, and that's where I need to find God, because India isn't the point. God is the point. And Baltimore is not the point. God is the point. And this or that in my life is not the point. God is the point. This is amazing. The Spirit of God. The moving of God. Then look at what happened. It says in verse 25, and they sang praises unto God. Maybe we should do more of that. Our worship songs, our praises to God, our praises in our hearts, our kind of body language. Even if you're healthy, you can move around a lot and do the whole body language thing and say, I'm breaking out of this thing. I'm free. I'm in it. And in that case, they were in chains. We can move our arms and our legs. And we can do everything in God consciousness. We can praise God and respond to God. And God is greater than what it is that we are facing. Sometimes we magnify with wisdom below. We magnify the problem. But the wisdom above is releasing to us and we respond in worship. And God is saying, I'm going to show you something. The doors are going to swing open. Right? Verse 25, and the prisoners heard them. They were singing. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. I mean, couldn't that happen to us? I mean, honestly, couldn't that be something? Isn't there a message in that? Isn't there something there that we can relate to and work on and say, wait a minute, maybe I limit my life by what is really happening instead of responding in this worship and prayer with who God really is. Maybe who God really is, He wants to show Himself to us. He wants to reveal to us in the Spirit who He is and who we are. We're not people that are, you know, when we lived in Hungary, there was a missionary meeting with all the foreign missionaries that came to Hungary. I couldn't make the meeting, so I sent somebody there. And I said, what happened? And they said, I couldn't believe it. It was like we are living in different countries. All the missionaries are sitting around how hard it is in Hungary. How the Hungarians, 87% of the Hungarians are atheists. I go, really? What? Tell me about it. They said, yeah, they said that they can't do anything. People are not believing. They share the message and they're atheistic. And I'm like saying over here, I'm going, are we living in a different country? It's totally the opposite. And by the way, we don't see them on the street. But we happen to be on the street and we find all these, sometimes we are surrounded by 100 people. And one, I remember these stories. This woman came up with tears and she said, I grew up under communism. My little boy died. I said, how old was he? She said, he was 7 years old. And she starts weeping. And I said, what did you want to ask? She said, will I ever see him again? Another man, he's angry. He goes, I was here in World War II. I was here when the Russians came. I was in the revolution. I am poor. I have nothing. And he's like very angry and wounded person. It was amazing ministry in those years in the 90s. It was beautiful. I don't know why God, by His grace, allowed us to go. But as we went, we found the Holy Spirit moving. And it's the same thing today in this world that we are living in. There'll be a day when your feet are in chains, when you're in the inner prison, when everything looks so glum and gloomy, and you're going to be attracted to the wisdom below. And it's going to be petty and small. And you and I are going to live in our small world. But in this story, it seems that God has written the story for us to say that at midnight, you can pray to me and start singing and believe me, and I will show you something. I can open the doors. I can heal your body. I can help you in your soul. I can comfort you. I can take a little guy like Dr. Stevens in eighth grade and just say to you, there are people that care about you. They will not crush you. They will help you. And what was he, 24 years old when he got a track? And he went into the outhouse and he read the track and gave his heart to Christ. And then he started to go to meetings and memorize the Bible. And he started preaching and he cared about people. And a small church of 7 people grew to 800. And then he said, we got to start a Bible college, and we got to send out teams, and we got to go into all the world. And that was kind of like the, and what we are saying today is that we are not, as Paul Andrelonis said, we are those that say, Daddy, did the fire come yet? I know it's going to come. I don't want to see it. We say, God, I don't want to get sick. You're going to make me sick. I know you're going to make me sick. And God will say, I'm not going to do that. Well, maybe I am. But trust me. Get the wisdom from above. And I'll guide you and you'll become mature. And I'll lead and guide you and use you. Amen. That's the second 7 minutes. You're done. We're done. Thank you, Jesus. Lead us in praise and worship in Christ's name. Anyone here not believing, please believe in Jesus. He loves you. He will not crush you. He will heal you, help you, save you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.